This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Welcome back, all. Sorry. Last week's episode, I did Bike of the Week and I showed the wrong bike. The way it works, I don't know how to edit videos. Monica does all of it. So I film the podcast and I save each story with the pictures and I send the pictures to Monica. And this week, because I know as I'm doing this podcast now, or as this podcast comes out, I'm going to be somewhere in Morocco. So I'm doing two podcasts back to back. I filmed last week's yesterday and I'm filming the one you see today 6 days in advance, when usually I film it on the exact day. And I got completely confused with the pictures, so apologies. But I want to give Steve the proper shout out he deserves. Steve with the Triumph Tiger 1050. That was the deserving bike of the week last week. 95,000 miles on the clock. There it is, in all its glory. Steve, I met at Bolt Motorcycles in London. Absolute pleasure, Steve. The bike of the week from last week. Thank you. And thank you as ever, everyone, for continuing to get in touch. And apologies, I haven't read through as many of the comments from last week, purely because I'm in Morocco now. But keep going with the comments, please. Keep sharing them. Your opinions, it's all part of what makes these podcasts so ridiculously fun for me to do. Best place to do that. Comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, you can email hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Thank you to C-Tech for being a channel sponsor for the month of October. It's hugely appreciated to have a channel sponsor like this. And I've got, tucked up in my new tool cupboard there, all of the C-Tech gear for the Bonneville, the Jeep, everything. It's fantastic, fantastic stuff. Swedish company, cannot recommend it enough. That is C-Tech. Let's begin from Fernando over in Spain. Returned home after 35 years. This is like last week. It's just a lovely story about these incredible old BMWs that really, I always say this phrase, they pull at the heartstrings. Take a listen to this. I love stuff like this. From Fernando, Freddie, I wanted to share with you a special bike. It's a BMW K100 RS from the past, from 1986. Perhaps it's from the future because bikes are turning into a crazy electronic world that people start to get fed up with. First owner of this bike was my father. Got all the way back in 1986. He bought it new, brand new in 86. I was 10 years old at the time, and I can remember the sound even back then. I loved that bike. The look, the speed, the experience riding with my father. He sold it in 1990, 35 years ago. And I didn't see it again. A couple of years ago, I started the search. God, Fernando, this is really going for it here. This is being very proactive. I started the search using public records of our traffic system in Spain. I found out that the bike was alive, but the owner didn't appear on the internet, which is something strange, and I couldn't contact the owner in any way at all. 1 month ago, this is a brand new story, I got another traffic report and I saw that the owner had changed and the bike had the ITV, that's the Spanish inspection for vehicles. And also I found out the bike had insurance. Bad news for me, because that means that the bike has been restored and it's going to be harder to get it back. This person, however, wasn't on the internet either, the new owner. and I couldn't get a telephone number, so I went to the vehicle insurance company. God, Fernando, the work you went to get this. I told the gentleman the story at the insurance company, and I asked if he could phone his client to explain the case and give him my telephone number, because I assumed he couldn't give me his number for a question about privacy and politics. So the insurance company gentleman did so. And I have to say that the owner of this bike is an excellent person and Block Capital's gentleman, because he told me that the bike was a present that he got from a friend, and it had been in his garage, covered, very damaged, for 15 years. But he had now restored it, and he said that if I would have contacted him a few months ago, he would have given me the bike for free as it is. But in this case, as it was my father's bike, the price for me would only be the restoration costs. So I traveled to the bike 400 kilometers from home in Andalusia, southern Spain, and I saw the bike for the first time in 35 years. I was astonished because of how good it looked. After a wonderful meal with this gentleman, I put on my jacket, paid the money, put my riding jeans on, the boots on, helmet, gloves, and I came back riding my father's BMW for the first time in 35 years. Fernando, that takes some doing and some investigative work to track that down, manage to lock in a deal and bring home your father's bike. That for me is what biking's all about. It's pure passion. It makes no logical sense going through all of that. But what you have now is the most special of things, Fernando. That is a fantastic story. And also, it's the very best of biking. The gentleman who completely restored, rebuilt that BMW, for him to sell it back to you at cost price. Passion. I love it. On now the other side of the world. There's nothing I like more than an Australian road trip story. This is from Paul, a classic Aussie road trip. Freddie, I've just returned from a trip across Australia with a good mate. We went from the east side to the west side. That in itself, story enough. 6,000 kilometres, that is, of Australia, finishing in Perth, Western Australia. 6,000 kilometres. I was on my Moto Guzzi V85 TT and my mate on his Triumph 800 EXC. On our trip, we went to the mining town of Broken Hill, Silverton, where Mad Max 2 was filmed. New South Wales, the Flinders Ranges in southern Australia. We then went across the long straight road, across the Great Australian Bight. Just that's around 1,000 kilometres. Thank God for cruise control. We then went to the bottom of Western Australia and finished up in Perth. We camped in our tents for all but two of the 18 days. That is seriously good going. Eating camp meals each day, but also making sure we at least had one coffee a day. An unforgettable trip. Paul, I always think with camping in Australia, especially when you're out there in that middle bit of Australia where there is literally nothing, camping and just wondering what's slithering, what's crawling within a metre of your tent. There's nowhere like Australia for the amount of things that can kill you. And I cannot help but look at that or think of that when I look at these pictures. These pictures are absolutely incredible. I like the options of vehicles. Yes, the Triumph Tiger 800, but also these Moto Guzzi V85s. These have a really good reputation. So many times I hear from all of you who kindly get in touch to say, these are seriously good, rugged, reliable, tough machines, these V85s. I hear very, very few stories of these V85s being fragile, having mechanical or electronical issues. These are well trusted. And proof here from Paul, the fact you did a cross Australia road trip on a V85. So let's take a look at this. Paul, you've inspired me here. V85 TT, can you believe it? When do you think this was launched? Where does time go? 2019. How has 6 years flown by here? 850cc, V-twin, 79 horsepower. Brand new, £12,150. Made in Italy. I always think that's superb value. Made in Italy for £12,150 with the character of a V-twin engine. All that Moto Guzzi styling. Robust, rugged, well-built, beautifully styled. Is it not the full package? Why do I not see V85 TTs all over the place? That for me is a big, big shame. I found something here for all of you. Do you want all of that beautiful motor goodsiness? And you may think it's a dream bike. Come on, this is out of my budget. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's not. I got very excited about this. Where did I find this? Auto Trader. So these start at around about £4,500-£5,000 for one of the earliest Moto Guzzi V85s. £4,500-£5,000, bear that in mind. I found one for all of you. Over £2,000 cheaper than the next cheapest one. Take a look at this, Auto Trader right now. The second cheapest one is £4,995. The cheapest one, £2,750. This isn't a typo. This is under £3,000 for Moto Guzzi V85. How on earth can this be over £2,000 cheaper than the next cheapest one? Blood bikers. If you don't know what I'm talking about, blood bikers are those incredibly charitable people. Danny, my good friend in Ipswich, is one of those who go out off their own back, pack up their own motorbike and deliver blood. I should do it once to see what it's like. They deliver blood around the country to different hospitals and places that need it. They do it out of the goodness of their own heart. They don't get a penny from it. And what it means is that their motorbikes rack up massive, massive mileages. But these kind of people are the salt of the earth type people. They do this for charity and they maintain their bikes religiously. So what it means is that these bikes are going to have huge mileages, but it also means that you're going to be buying a bike from a person who maintains their bike religiously and fastidiously. Take a listen to this owner's write-up of his bike, selling it for £2,750. So insanely rare. I don't think this has ever happened for V85. So, June 2022. So this isn't even one of the first. This is a three-year-old Moto Guzzi. V85 TT, 59,390 miles. There you go. That's why it's so cheap. And all bikers get freaked out over any motorbike with over 40,000 miles, which is completely ridiculous. And this has been well maintained. So, high mileage, 59,000, with full documented history. Here we go. I hadn't even read this, but that is exactly it. That's the blood biker way. Full documented history, MOT till June 2026. Just retired blood bike. Good mechanical condition, no warning lights, well-specced bike, including rider modes, crash bars, heated grips, cruise control, genuine Moto Guzzi panniers. That's worth a lot in itself. Two keys and owner's manual. It is a two-year-old bike. It is a three-year-old bike. I think that has to be one of the deals of the year that I've seen doing this podcast. One of the deals of the year, 100%. Please, someone grab that bike. And please, if you do grab it, let me know you've bought it and send me a pic. And I promise you, I will share your story. Send an email, hi@tuesdayatdobbs.com. Someone has to buy that. Moving on, the ultimate mile muncher. It's one of my favorite things. I love this topic, but I got another one in here from Michael, because I have been besmirching the proud BMW name, especially the 1150s and 1200s with that chronic, and it is a chronic ABS issue. It basically affects 90% of BMWs from what I've heard. Okay, sorry, sometimes I overreact and over-exaggerate. It affects a huge amount of these BMWs. So many horror stories about bikes getting sent to the scrapyard because of this ABS issue that's ruinously expensive, stupidly complicated. But we do know that there are ways to get around this issue for very, very little money. The only problem is you have to know that there are ways around this issue. Because if you don't know about it, you go to BMW, they say, right, that would be £2,500 to replace. You're like, right, send the bike off to the scrapyard. But you can fix it for under £50, this issue. That is the difference between knowing your bike and just trusting a dealership, whether it's BMW, Triumph, whatever. So with that said, background done. Listen to Michael here. Freddie, you seem to be spreading woe about the R1200 BMWs. Ride one for a week and see for yourself. I commute on mine, just back from a company thing in Kent, 115 miles in the rain and the fog. M25 traffic, queues at the tunnel, heated grips, heated seats. I've never used oddly. Fantastic fairings, 60 miles per gallon. Some relativity, my Triumph does 45 miles per gallon. So this massive BMW with far, far more power and far more comfort than my Triumph does a huge, huge amount more miles per gallon, which is really impressive. Great handling, power. Luggage when I need it, I usually leave it at home. Peerless pillion bike and fantastic value as you can service them yourself. It even has glove boxes for your disc lock, etc. The Triumph 660 I hear people wanging on about, bonkers service costs from that, from what I hear from the owners in my bike club. Michael, thank you for this. You've inspired me again, all this inspiration here. I am going to have a look at this BMW because I must have had minimum eight of these big BMW RT owners getting in touch with me and saying, no. Look, there may be the occasional ABS issue here. You can fix that cheaply for one. Secondly, these are formidable machines, incredibly well built, BMW at its finest. So I cannot ignore that. Let's have a look at this. I'm going to do something special here. I'm going to do Auto Trader search, and I'm going to put any motorbike, I don't care what brand it is, I don't care what CC it is, I only want to see motorbikes that have over 80,000 miles on the clock. I.e., I want to see what motorbikes are ridden and trusted to do huge mileage. Here we go. Search done, 80,000 miles as a minimum mileage. Nine bikes come up, only nine bikes on Auto Trader, and this is incredible. Take a look at this. Of the nine bikes, six of them, this is incredible, six of the nine bikes are BMWs, and two of those six are BMW RTs. This is just phenomenal. Then you've got GSs. That in itself is phenomenal, and three of them are Hondas. That's really phenomenal. Ignore the other ones like the BSA, they've got the mileage wrong. Six out of the nine 80,000 plus miler motorbikes in the UK, full stop on Auto Trader, are BMWs. That is a testament to the build quality. If you can get around some of those annoying electrical gremlins, the core of these BMWs is rock solid. That's the best possible compliment you can get for these BMWs. I'll now do one other little search here, looking specifically for BMW RTs. How good are these RTs at mile munching? Watch this. All I've typed in here, BMW RT 1200, nothing else at all. Listen to some of the mileages here. These are going in price from cheapest to most expensive. £2,500, 48,000 miles. Next one, 64,000 miles. Next one, 35,000 miles. Next, 51,000, 86,000 next. 86,000, 31,000, 38, 69,000 miles, 50,000 miles, 51,000 miles. Sorry, it's a bit quick. And I'll do one or two more. 50,000, 47,000, and 40,000. I think this is the most mile-munched model of motorcycle, full stop, out of all motorbikes. It's so rare to see so many of the same model do such gigantic miles, and one in there with 86,000. I mean, any one of those. I personally, because I like a high mileage hero, that the fact they start at £2,500 for all that bike is tempting in itself, but that one with 86,000 miles on the clock from 2010, you're getting a 15-year-old bike from 2010. That's quite tempting because do a couple of big years of mileage, you're going to be up to 100,000 miles, and that is a good milestone. And just to have a bike that you're going to get to 100,000 miles, and I've got no doubt at all that will do it, that's something in itself. Phenomenal machines, those RTs. Really genuinely fine. I will give you that. I can focus a lot on the negatives with regards to the ABS, and it's a shame you've got those stupidly expensive issues on some of the BMWs. But for their core mechanicals, they're almost unrivaled. Moving on now. These are the pictures I shared from last week. One of the original reborn British-built Triumphs for £700. This Triumph trophy is what I shared the pictures of last week by mistake, so you may have a bit of deja vu seeing these. This is from Matt. Freddie, you might be interested in my new purchase. It's a 20,000-mile, completely original, 1992 Triumph Trophy 900 in, I would say, almost immaculate condition. I really like the 90s retro classics, and this one runs and rides far better than I could ever have imagined. This era of bike was massively, Triumphs are famous for this of this era, it's true, massively over-engineered, and I paid for this future classic just £700, which is an absolute bargain of a century, or of the century. So let's take a look at this. Matt, thank you so much. And Matt, your bike has now been shown unwittingly in two episodes back to back here. So let's take a look at this beautiful looking bike. Triumph Trophy 900. Definitely, I think, for this, one of the forgotten Triumphs. I'm sure most people will agree, and you'll agree purely because you probably didn't know anything about it. And that confirms my statement. There is, weirdly, and again, this just backs it up, very, very little about these bikes online. You have a few forums talking about a few bits, but from the big magazines and things like that, there was not much about these. So they were launched in 1991 and production ended in 2001. So they had a 10-year production life. I did have a look at some of the forums, purely because it's so hard finding anything about these from the big motorbiking journalists. So I went onto the forums to have a look at what these bikes are all about. And there's one rider on the forum saying, look, I'm considering buying a Triumph Trophy 900. Is there anything I need to look out for at all? Any reliability or build quality issues? The reply universally was no, there's nothing to look for. These bikes are completely rock solid. One owner did say this that I liked. I'm quoting here on the forum. My Trophy is a 900cc with 107,000 miles. Lots of touring and great for one person also. 107,000 miles. There you go, that's all you need to hear. It's like the big BMWs. The best compliment you can ever give to a bike is seeing how many of them do big mileage. That's it. So 98 horsepower, 885cc triple engine, 220 kilo dry weight. And I've heard the weight situation is quite high, so it's a little bit of that pendulum effect. But that seems to be just about the only negative for these bikes. This came out in 91. 98 horsepower from a 900cc engine, that's just about perfect. What can I find if I were looking at one of these? Matt, first off, I have to say, no idea how you got yours for £700. I can't find anything even remotely close to one of these for £700. So for me, forget about that. Matt, you've got a freak there. So well done for that. That is the deal of a century. The deal of the century, all right. The best thing I could find to get even remotely close to that is one on eBay, £1,250, 4 days left, no bids on this one, and I'm just hoping maybe you could get it for exactly that, $1,250, although that is up in the air. You'd just have to wait and see what the actual auction goes for, but plenty of these for over £2,000. This one here, though, 92 Triumph Trophy 900, just 20,000 miles from new MOT last month, just fitted new foot rubbers, runs and rides very well. Only reason I'm selling, I've got too many motorbikes, and this one isn't being used, would possibly benefit from carbs being cleaned. Few other bits that I would do if I hadn't decided to sell. So that looks very good, very straight. Look, you may get lucky and get that for $1,250, but really, you need about that as an absolute minimum to get one of these. And they are quite rare bikes, these now. I don't know if they ever sold well, but certainly now, very little about these. So Matt, fantastic purchase there. And that's a left field choice. If you're looking for a nice, reliable mile muncher, a sports tourer type of a bike, how many people actually consider a Triumph Trophy 900? I would guess about 0.1% of people. So go out, check them out. Rock solid bikes, made in England as well. And I like that. On now to a dream bike. But are you brave enough? I'll say it straight out here. I'll say it because I saw this bike in Ipswich a couple of days ago. And it's such a head turner of a bike. And I was looking at it thinking, I remember when this bike came out. And it was just the most out there, crazily styled bike. And I was thinking, at the time when it came out, that is a Ferrari on two wheels. That is the ultimate desirable machine. But this bike came out in 2011. How is it now, price-wise? I give you the Ducati Diavel. Can you believe this has been out for 14 years now? When it came out, when it was launched in 2011, jaws from everyone, from the journalists, from the general public, jaws dropped. The styling was so crazily muscular and aggressive. There was nothing like it at all. So mean. 152 horsepower. Bear in mind, this is for a Ducati cruiser motorbike from 14 years ago. 152 horsepower, 1200 cc, 210 kilos. Brand new right now if you want one of these. £25,000. Extremely expensive. A lot of bike for the money. Proper, proper exotica. MCN say this about the original. Named after the Bolognese dialect word for devil. The Diavel isn't a cruiser in the traditional sense of the word, and is instead Ducati's take on a performance cruiser, and a very fast one at that, which was more than happy in the bends. And armed with a sports bike derived and world superbike winning motor, I mean, just let that soak in itself. Top rate suspension, sporty chassis, all of this in a cruiser package, cutting edge electronics and radical styling, all offset by a huge 240 section rear tire. The Ducati Diavel was a radical departure for not only Ducati, but also cruisers in general. So, why do you have to be brave to buy one of these bikes? I will tell you immediately. That infamous Desmo service. This is a service, especially from this era of Ducati. Ducati may have hopefully sorted it out now, because this was a huge problem. The Desmo service from this era, around about 2011 to X date, I'm not sure when they may have streamlined it a bit. It was a service required every 15,000 miles from what I've researched online. And the cost for this Desmo service is around £1,100 to £1,500. So that means, and someone tell me if I'm wrong here, but every form I've checked says this, that means that every 15,000 miles, you need to spend the best part of £1,500. That just seems utterly, utterly ludicrous. And it's for this exact reason that prices are really low for some of these Diavels. And also it's a reason that people quite simply are just too scared to buy one, because they don't want to have to spend £1,500 every time they do 15,000 miles. Utter insanity, if you think about it level-headedly. So, let's take a look at this. Oh, one more thing I will say. I was checking forums, and people get so animated and so angry with this ridiculous Desmo service that forums are set up especially for this, with people saying, is this legit? Is it true? I went to my Ducati dealer, and they said it's £1,500. It's £1,100. It's £1,000 for the Desmo service now that I've hit 15,000 miles. They're saying, is this true? I can't do this. I can't physically do it. And people are saying, yep, it's true. That's the classic Desmo service. So it's so hated, this Desmo service. There are forums only dedicated to that. So what does it mean in the used market? Well, it means that you can pick one of these dream machines up for £4,600. Now, I've seen a lot of these Diavels pop up and they say, price is cheap because it needs the Desmo service. See, everyone looking at these bikes knows about the Desmo service. So the price will reflect it. It will either reflect it saying, needs the Desmo service, hence cheap, or just had the Desmo service, or needs the Desmo service in about 2,000 miles. Everything is relative to the Desmo service. That's how big a deal this is. Now take a look at this one, the cheapest I could find. 2011 model, so the launch year model. It still looks fantastic. And you can just see in the back of the driveway there, there's a nice Range Rover Velar. So this person clearly likes their vehicles. 14 years on, it's just as head-turning. It's seriously imposing bike, this very, very good-looking bike. And it's still a dream machine, £4,600. And guess what the mileage is on this one for the cheapest? Funnily enough, it's just 800 miles away from needing the Desmo service. Funny that, isn't it? You get to a point where the vehicle's not worth a huge amount, £4,600, and you probably can't stomach paying £1,500 or so for a Desmo service. So I don't think that's coincidental that the person's selling it just before it needs the Desmo service. Bike of the week. I'm going to do a brand new bike here. If you're looking at a, what would we call this, a naked a naked bike with a little bit of a scrambler kind of vibe, but really an aggressive naked road bike. That's what we're looking at here. You'd probably consider the likes of a Yamaha, Suzuki, Triumph, maybe a Ducati as well, maybe even a BMW. Would you consider something Swedish? Something that just never really pops up. The Husqvarna, Svartpilen 801. There'll be a lot of you, I know, that thinking, God, okay, that sounds interesting. It's not something I've considered. But my question to you, why? Why haven't you considered a Husqvarna? And for me personally, I'm exactly the same. Why do I never consider Husqvarna? Is it just quite simply they're a very small brand? Is it that they do very minimal amounts of marketing? I don't know why, but this looks like a compelling package on paper. I'll jump straight in with the price here for this 801 Svartpilen. It's usually £10,500. This is the thing that made me have to do this for Bike of the Week. But it's currently directly on Husqvarna's website, so this isn't having to negotiate at a dealership. This is direct from Husqvarna. It's currently on sale from £10,500 to £8,399 for a brand new Svartpilen. That puts it into a whole different league of value. This turns a bike that's slightly higher priced than most, a little bit more premium, suddenly into something that's really keenly priced. This is an enticing proposition now. Listen to Svartpilen's website, because it's one of those bikes, it's quite hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. They say the 2024, so this model only came out a year ago, and already they're discounting it by over £2,000. That's alarm bells ringing all over the place. The 2024 Svartpilen 801 is the latest expansion of our naked motorcycle lineup. It combines exceptional versatility, performance, and style for the streets. Okay, here we go. So, we're calling this a street bike. It's minimalist, scrambler inspired. Okay, so it's a kind of mashup of both. Design features a new compact and powerful parallel twin engine. Now that is interesting, because the outgoing model was a single, so a twin may actually be a more rounded machine to use on longer distances. Perfectly balanced tubular frame and refined ergonomics for an engaging, intuitive ride. Complete with adjustable WP suspension, state-of-the-art electronic aids, and finished with sharp lines and dark colours. The Svartpilen 801 allows each rider to set their own tone for urban riding. Well, that all sounds lovely. Let's take a look at the ingredients. 104 horsepower. That's perfect. 181 kilos. That is excellent. It's now a twin replacing the old single. I think that's a good thing. Scrambler, naked, street bike mix. Really good aggressive styling. I really like the styling of this. I think it looks excellent. For £8,400. Shares many parts with KTM. KTM have had an appalling reputation for some areas of reliability. However, from everything I've heard, from new bikes over the past 2 years or so, KTM have sorted out pretty much all of those issues. And because KTM have sorted them out, that means that Husqvarna have them sorted as well. So buying this new bike that came out in 2024, this new Svartpilen, it should mean you're in very safe hands with regard to the build quality, the reliability, because all of those issues should hopefully now have been sorted out, so there won't be any horror stories, I hope. It's a left field choice. It's a dynamic choice. It's going to be a bike that generates conversation. It's a step away from the norm. And at £8,400, it's actually cheaper than almost everything in its class. I think that's a fantastic buy. I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. I say hello remotely from Morocco, where I am now, probably failing very badly at off-roading. And I'll see you all in the next one. I don't know where from, Morocco or back here. So have a fantastic week all. I'll see you in the next one.